This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Heather Cannon from Tampa, Florida.
And I'm Glenn DeGeek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 11th, episode 1449. Good morning, Horse World.
It's rodeo time, ladies, let's ride.
Well, good morning, everybody. I know it's weird for me to be here on Women in Rodeo because I am not a woman. but Lorinda was out this week. She had something to go to, a big event, right?
Yes, she's at the fair.
She's at the fair?
Yes. Her girls are showing animals.
She is eating funnel cakes and candy apples and ice cream all
week
long.
That's what I would do. I don't think Lorinda's doing that.
Oh, man, funnel cakes. That's a weakness of mine because I'm not allowed to have gluten or sugar. And what's funnel cake? Gluten and sugar.
But, I didn't know that.
It is so good. Funnel cakes with like strawberry goop on top Now you got me thinking about food. It is Saturday. I mean, it's like a fair day, right?
Right. It is.
Is this a local fair that our kids are at, or?
I believe so. Yeah, I think it's pretty local. So they're showing goats and hogs. And so her week is very busy. She might not even have time to eat.
I always thought the hog showing was kind of funny because most of the time they're not cooperating.
Correct. My girls show, and yes, they do not. You just kind of follow your pig because they do not pay attention.
No, and they're not going to stand still and look pretty, and what's that called? They're not going to pose.
Correct. That's
not happening. They're just going to be a pig.
So. That's right.
Well, maybe they have it right because they're not following anybody's lead. We're just doing our own thing.
That's right.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Saturday show. And, of course, Heather and I did a few of these together before Lorinda showed up. So I think we'll be fine. We're brought to you today by Debbie Lynn Designs. That's D-E-B-I, Lynn Design. And, of course, the Women in Rodeo show is now twice a month, the second Saturday and the fourth Tuesday of the month, and bringing you the latest from Women in Rodeo. Well, I know there's a great show planned for today, and Jennifer's off, so I'll tell you a little bit about it. Heather's going to start by talking a little bit about staying focused, which is something I have a big problem with. Morgan Holmes is here, and she has won 5 world titles. She is a true cowgirl, and she has $60,000 in career earnings with the National Rein Cow Horse Association, so we're going to chat with her a little later in the show. We also have Dr. Wendy, that's right, Dr. Wendy Ying, you know her. She fills in here a lot. She's the host of the Driving Radio Show, coming on to answer some health questions as it relates to horses that might be used in all kinds of women in rodeo competitions. So we're going to talk about that. And then we have our segment with Katie, who is the owner of Katie's Case and a fashion expert at katiescase.com. So what's going on, girl, in the world of rodeo?
Well, I have a few hot topics that I picked to talk about today, and the first thing is actually about me. I have a big announcement that I'm super excited to tell everyone, and Glenn, I haven't even told you.
No, I don't know what this is.
Nope. So,
you're running for office. You're going to be president.
No. I would not be good at president. No. As you know, we've been trying to build a horse barn for a while. Unfortunately, that has been put on hold. You know, the old thing, like when you build something or you spend a lot of money, inevitably something else breaks, right?
Yeah, you just built a pool. What broke?
We did build a pool. Well, our roof decided to start leaking this week. And my husband's boat has been broke. But anyways, that's just like money. That's, you know, we're going to be hemorrhaging over the next few months. So
boats are worse than horses.
Yes. So there's a lot of money that needs to be spent. And in the midst of all this, my girls come to me and say, Mom, we really don't want to show dairy heifers next year. And I said, okay. And so the first thing that goes in my head is, okay, well, that means we have 2 empty stalls.
Horses.
So exactly. So
and then they were like, no, we want to show chickens.
I would have killed them. I'm not showing chickens.
I want to show dogs. I want to show cats.
Oh, gosh. So I went to Darren and said, you know, Sierra's birthday's coming. Savannah's is right around the corner. How would you feel about this? And he's on board. And so actually today I'm going to look at three horses.
Oh, yay.
So, yeah. Yep. So pretty exciting day for our family.
Yay,
I've waited
that's great.
Many years for this.
Horse
now,
shopping
my girls
is
are
so
getting,
much fun.
Getting theirs first. So
don't settle just because
you're going
to look doesn't mean you have
both.
To buy. No falling in love.
I told both of them, this is a process. You can't just go buy the first one that you see.
It's
you know,
like going
so
to the grocery store and picking the candy off the shelf. It's
exactly. So anyways, let's go on with Hot Topics. I'm excited about that. But
congratulations.
Like you said, Lorinda,
that is very exciting.
It is. It is. We mentioned that Lorinda's at the fair, but I have to say that her daughter, Jaylee, won third place in her class with her goat. So Jaylee's doing great. Also, Ivy Conrado won the Spanish Fork Champions Challenge with a 16.65 run on her horse, Tibby. And there's been a little bit of a change in your top five for the WPRA World Standings. As of June 6th, your number one spot goes to Mary Berger. Ivy Conrado sits at number two. Michelle McLeod is at three. Cassidy Cruz at four. And Jackie Cantor at five. And so that rounds out Hot Topics for today.
Very good. Well, let's get into your segment that you're going to do on staying focused, because I'm a guy with ADD and about 1,000 things on my mind at any single moment, which means I don't get much done in any single moment because I'm always thinking about the next thing. So,
absolutely. And I don't know that you're going to do these things that I'm going to suggest, Glenn. I can't see that, but I do think that a lot of the women listening will get a lot out of this. There's been many times that I find my wheel spinning and I'm just getting nowhere with my business. Luckily, I spent several years with Mary Kay and learned a few things from them that I still use to keep myself on track. These things that I'm going to talk about, I actually used to achieve their National Queen's Court of Sales. I sold over $36,000 one year and was recognized in Dallas. But anyways, with my busy mom schedule, I couldn't do it without this system. And I've actually went back to it because I found myself getting sucked into the social media abyss. And, you know, yes, social media is important for our business. It's important if you're a barrel racer trying to obtain sponsorship or for whatever reason, but it's not a productive thing that will, it's not an income producing activity, basically. Here's a couple things about my secret. I actually have two. The first one is I have a 6 most important things to-do list, and I don't remember why there's 6 of them instead of 5, but that is what I write out nightly. And number 2 is a focus book that I carry with me everywhere. So that's why I said I don't think I see you doing this. I don't see you making a girly, pretty focus book, Glenn.
You could make one out of leather or something. You know,
you could. You could. Yes. But every night before bed, I sit down and I fill out my 6 most important things for the next day, so it clears my head and I can actually sleep because my brain doesn't stop and I struggle with that as it is. And your list will be tailored for whatever your goals are. So everyone's is different. But one thing I would highly suggest everyone have on their list it's to determine how many potential customers or sponsors or business partners you would like to contact each day. This is one thing that will definitely help your business grow. And then the way I put my focus book together, it's a 3-ring binder, and it has tab dividers inside of it. And you can, if you want to, put photos of your goals on the front of it. I think that's a nice motivator to keep that around you. But my first tab is actually the to-do list, the 6 most important things. My second would be my monthly goals. My third is for current sponsors. So I have a page for each sponsor. On this page, I include any conversations we have, any ideas I think of to promote them, anything that pertains to that particular sponsor. Number 4 would be possible sponsors, and it's a running list of people I would like to contact. And having that list with me at all times is great because I'm constantly having things pop in my mind and I can't remember it when I get home. Number five would be events. So any events that I'm planning to attend or one I'm planning to have on my own. So for example, if I plan to attend a rodeo, I would want a page for that rodeo that includes my goals, things I want to achieve while I'm there, you know, whether it's certain interviews or whatever that is. And six would be my show guest. So a note or a page for each show guest, things I want to talk to them about, conversations we've had, things I see on social media that I want to bring up. And then the last one for me is women in rodeo articles. And that's just a running list of women I want to write a story on. So again, this changes for every single person. And I want to, you know, I want to leave you real quick with a quote from Mary Kay Ash because she was really into setting goals. I think she had a lot to do with designing this. And she always said, set a goal and do something about it. And this is how I make sure that I'm doing something about it. So
it's a great idea, except I think that, you know, I always start these things and then a day later I've forgotten it and I'm restarting it again in a month.
Well, if you're like me, well, I keep mine longer. I do find myself, I'm really great about it for a couple months or so. And then things get busy and you get sidetracked or you get sucked back into your old habits. But it's good to have something that you can go back to. Like, this is what gets me back on track. And that I think that's the point I was trying to make.
It's a great idea on most successful people. I just have always had the trouble of keeping with it. It has to become a habit. And you have to force yourself to do it till it becomes a habit.
Yes. And if you find yourself, you know, floundering, you know, this is a great go-to. This is, you know, I just recently, I was doing it. I was busy with social media, which is very important for us, but I wasn't focusing on the right things. And so I thought that I would share it with everyone else too.
Very good. Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
Well, we have our first guest coming up next, but I did want to mention that Heather's sound is not quite up to usual standards today. She was having internet trouble in Florida, so we're going to work on that for the next time we have her on the phone today. Your next guest is ready, Heather.
Next, we have Morgan Holmes. She holds 5 world titles, over 60,000 in career earnings. I know. With the National Range Cow Horse Association, she's placed at the high school national final 3 times and was recently part of the winning collegiate team for the Stock Horse of America. Congratulations on so many amazing accomplishments, Morgan. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to y'all. How's it going?
Good. So what moment stands out most to you out of all that?
Cashing the checks.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's also nice.
But is there a special moment for you?
You know, they're all special. They all are special. They all have their own little meaning. I think the biggest one would be the recent thing, being part of the Texas Tech Ranch Horse team. I transferred there from Vernon College on a little rodeo team. Went to this big university. They welcomed me as family, and we brought home the national title. That just really meant a lot to me to have success with people who I kind of grew with over the last year.
That's awesome. And, yes. You know, you had mentioned to me, I have to say this to people because it was so sweet of you. When I first started to post for you and I had mentioned that you had won that, you said, oh, no, that was a team effort. And I love that you did that. So it was about teamwork.
There's 19 of us, so we're all a big family.
Awesome. What categories or competitions do you guys compete in?
It's for ranch horse competitions, so we'll have to do a trail pattern, which goes over logs. You rope and drag a dummy. You do speed transitions, and then we have to do a reining pattern, which is back to my roots of the cow horse stuff. It's just a simple reining pattern, and then another division, you have to work a cow, which also back to my roots. And the last one is a little pleasure course.
Nice. Well, let's talk about your roots and your family and what all you guys have been involved in and how you, you know, you grew up in a world where you had so much to learn and so many great people at your fingertips. Tell us about that, about growing up the way you have.
Yeah, I've been really fortunate. I grew up doing this. I know nothing else other than roping and riding. My dad, he came to Florida from the King Ranch, started his own business, started working for a lady here. I came along riding a horse. It's just second nature to me, actually. People talk about riding horses as being a sacrifice, like, oh, you have to sacrifice time, you have to do this. That was always, I never had to sacrifice anything because this is my life.
Right, right.
So it's kind of nice to look back on it and be like, I don't regret any of the things I did. I don't regret the things I missed because I'm 20 years old and I've been a lot of places thankful to my family and to what we do. So it's really neat to be
a part
of it.
And, you know, that strikes me when you say you're 20 years old and we just mentioned all those accolades. Like, it's amazing what you've accomplished. Oh, my word.
I'm so fortunate. It's awesome.
Absolutely. There's one moment that stood out to me, and I posted it recently, and it's of you handing a trophy to your grandmother. Tell us a little bit about that moment. That was pretty touching to me.
Yes, that was unbelievable. It's hard to describe it. My grandma, she had that year, she lost both of her sisters. They both passed away, one unexpected, and the other one, she was just really sick. And so she was going through a bunch of hardship without that year. And I told her, I said, Grandma, I want a chance to show Larkin, that's her great horse, she's won everything on. I said, I want a chance to show him my last year in the youth and the ranch pleasure. And she's like, okay, you do it. You show him. I said, okay. So that was my third time to ever even show him in the ranch pleasure. And I ended up winning the title. And I told her before I went in there, I said, this is for you. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to win it. But it's yours. And she's like, no. And darn sure she took that trophy.
Wow.
So proud. It was a cool moment.
It really, you know, the photo of, she looked so proud. It was a great photo. Yeah. Whoever caught that moment, that's awesome.
Oh, I know. I had never even seen that picture until a couple months ago. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. It was neat.
And so what's your family ranch called? It's Triple J Ranch, correct?
Yes, we own the Triple J Ranch. It's in Sarasota, Florida. And we host all different kinds of shows, from miniature horse shows to World Series team ropings here. It's pretty cool. We stay busy for sure.
Very cool. And do you have people that board there? Like, what else do you have going on there?
Well, we have a full training facility. So my dad is out there riding 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, has clients out there all day long. And then we also board select few. Because it's a little hard for us to board with being a training facility because we don't want strange horses coming in and out just due to all of the client horses. So
that makes
that's
sense.
Just the main thing. Yep.
Okay. But, and what do you do there? What is your, do you have a job or what keeps you busy there?
I stay pretty busy. I mean, I have about, I'd say, 13 of my personal horses here. I only take 4 to college with me every semester. So I just kind of shift around whichever ones I take best back there. So I'll ride all my horses here every day, rope the dummy, just do whatever kind of stuff my dad needs me to do, ride a couple of his horses for him. Just kind of help out.
Wait a minute, Morgan. Wait a minute. You just said, and
I know.
Heather picked that up too. You just said that you bring 4 of your horses to college. Most girls have
4.
To sell their one horse they own to go to college. You are one lucky girl.
Yes, but those horses, they got me to college, so I've got
to... No, that's true. Yeah, you actually win money. See, I forget we're on the English side, and I forget that you guys actually win money. That's the difference.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those horses, they're the ones. Because, see, I go to school on a scholarship. So that's those little thinkers, they're going with me.
Oh, so how does that work? How long are you, you're in Texas at school, and then how long are you home?
I usually come home for the summers and winter. So it just depends. We have a really long summer break, which is really nice. I have to go back at the end of August, which is, I mean, that's a great break for me to come home and be with my family. And our winter break is about a month long as well.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
So you somehow, I don't know how, but somehow you know Lorinda. Is that from being over there in Texas or just because everybody knows Lorinda?
Well, when I was in eighth grade, Lorinda, I knew her through mutual friends. And this lady, I actually got my calf horse from her that I rode in high school. But she told me, she's like, you need to meet Lorinda. She's got some cool breast collars and head stalls, and you need to get one. And I was like, okay. So she kind of hooked us up. And Lorinda sponsored me ever since I was in eighth grade. So
she didn't even tell me that. That's so cool.
Yeah, she's the very first person to ever give me any kind of sponsorship or even help me out. And as a little kid, that made me feel on top of the world. You know what I mean? That someone who doesn't even know me would take a little pride in me. So I've loved Lorinda ever since then. She's an awesome lady.
She is. She's great. I'm blessed to have her on the show for sure.
Yes. She's so cool.
So you're going to school for agricultural communications. What would you like to accomplish with
I am.
That?
Awesome. Oh, I have no clue. I really am into journalism. I really am. And I'd like to get a summer internship with Western Horsemen or Quarter Horse
Nine.
News eventually.
Nine.
Yes. This summer, Nine. I'm a little too busy. My dad told me no internship. He's got too many horses to ride. So I'm going to wait till next year.
You're riding, what, 13 horses a day? Is that what you said? What's
your
day?
So he's like,
must be long.
You better not. Yeah. For sure.
What are you passionate about in the agriculture industry? Are there any topics that really stand out to you?
You know, to me, it's more of the stories that kind of get skipped over. Like, if I wouldn't have told anyone about my grandma and me riding her horse, no one would have ever known that. And I feel like there's a bunch of stories that kind of get covered over, and I would like to be the one to show that stuff, because that's why we do it, because passion, because we love it, because it's what makes us wake up in the morning and want to go saddle a horse in the 90-degree weather. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I want to kind of do more personal level stories, not just, oh, so-and-so won this world title. For, you know what I mean?
I spilled the beans earlier that I am going to be looking at horses.
Yes.
But I didn't say with who. So I just have to say that, you know, I had called Lorinda and said, okay, Lorinda, I am in the market to look for horses, and I need to find someone reliable. And you were the first person. She's like, I know someone. She's like, I don't know where she lives.
She's so happy.
Yes. She goes, I don't know where she lives. And so she sends me your information and your number. And then she sends me a screenshot of your Facebook page. I'm like, she is right down the road from me. Like, we live not far from each other. And
yeah,
I can't believe
so
I never.
Cool.
I know. And then as soon as I posted that we were going to have this interview, I can't tell you the local people that have texted and said how amazing you are. So you are very well
loved. Thank you so much. That makes me feel so good.
Well,
you're welcome.
I have something I'd love to do with you. And we didn't warn you about this, so we're catching her off guard. As a matter of fact, Heather doesn't know about it either. So, but hearing you talk, and you're so much fun, we're doing this thing, we're doing the Year of the Listener on our Stable Scoop radio show, where we're interviewing listeners every week. And we have these rapid-fire questions that we're doing with the listeners. And they're a lot of fun, and I would love to do it with you if you don't mind.
Awesome, I don't mind at all.
All right, you ready? Okay, Heather, sit back. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food, spaghetti.
Okay, well, there you go. I had that last night. What's your least favorite food?
Liver.
No liver.
Oh,
no
there
liver.
You go.
Don't put down for liver.
What's your biggest equestrian pet peeve? What drives you crazy?
Oh, I hate when we're at shows or we're riding at nighttime, if we're all going the certain direction and someone is going the opposite direction. That grinds my gears.
That happens all the time in the warm-up ring on the English side, too.
Yes.
Oh. Do you have a favorite professional or celebrity equestrian?
I look up to Jackie Hobbs a lot, and she's a great girl roper, and I'd like to be like her one day.
There you go. And so if you could do any career in the world that wasn't horses, and you didn't, you know, it wasn't horses, but you could just, without any schooling, just do it right now, what would it be?
Oh, I would be a dolphin trainer.
There you go. That's a first. Yep. We haven't had dolphin trainer yet.
I think that would be so cool.
Actually,
that's
Shauna,
girl.
Shauna Koresh was a dolphin trainer. Yep. Do you know Shauna?
No, I do not.
She was a dolphin trainer for SeaWorld for 12 years, and she's the one that started clicker training in with horses back in the 1990s, and she's a good friend of the network. She comes on all the time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and there's a lot of similarities. That was her point in doing it. She still does clinics. That was her point. There's a lot of similarities in training the dolphins to training the horses.
Oh, I would imagine so.
Yep. What's the most terrifying thing you've ever done, and would you do it again? Doesn't even have to be horses.
Oh, we went parasailing one time, and I did not like that, but I would probably do it again.
if you could have one superhero power, what would it be?
To read people's minds.
That's a good one, actually. Yeah. That is a good one. And one more question. Pick out a horse. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite horse right now? The one that you bond with the most and that...
Oh, I have a really good mare named Annie Oakley, and she's my favorite.
Okay, so if you could ask Annie Oakley one question and she could answer, what would it be?
If she likes me or not.
That is, by the way, in all the times we've done this quiz, that is the most popular answer. Are you happy?
Yes, you love me.
And we'd probably all be shocked when they go, I wish you'd just stop riding me and leave me the hell alone. You know?
Yeah, probably.
I always wonder, do I really want to know the answer if my pony likes me or not? You know?
Oh, yes. Maybe I don't want to know, though.
Yeah, see, that's it. Then your heart's broken and you go, then you're just done, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
If it's a mare, she might just say, not today.
Not today. That's right.
Yeah. Maybe tomorrow.
Well, that was fun.
Oh, that was fun. I might have to steal that from you, Glenn. I like that.
What's the website where people can find you?
It's www.triplejranchfl.com.
All right, triplejranchfl.com. Now, you have one assignment.
Yes.
You have to take care of Heather and make sure she doesn't buy something stupid, okay?
Yes, I will.
All right.
I will for sure.
You make sure of that. I was giving her all these warnings earlier before I knew she was coming to you, and then I didn't really need to give her all the warnings, but...
Well, thank
I think
you,
she'll
Morgan.
Be good.
No,
yes,
we will.
Thank
we
y'all
will.
So much.
All right, thanks, Morgan.
And I'll see you later today.
Yes, ma'am. See you later.
Well, let's play today's song. We have a beautiful song from Buckaroo Girl Adrienne Brannon, Down the Rio Grande.
Baby pulled a blue dress on and walked out late last night. Left one silk stocking dangling from the bedside light. I sobered up and called her name just before the dawn. I followed footprints through the sand and knew where she had gone down the Rio Grande. Down the Rio Grande. I pulled out of Albuquerque, must have been past 8. 4 cups of coffee and I hit the interstate. Rolling through Las Cruces, I thought I saw her car. She always said she'd go someday, but she never said how far down the Rio Grande. Down the Rio Grande. Maybe she's in Brownsville, she got some family there. She always talked about the salty Gulf Coast air where the river ends. Down the Rio Grande. Saw an old gray heron flying south against the wind. Storm clouds over war as rolled in east to the Big Bend. Called her name in Esperanza's dusty desert rain. But who knows what the hell I'd say if I found her again down the Rio Grande. Down the Rio Grande. I turned south on Highway 90, sky began to clear. Black mountains up ahead, red sun down rearview mirror. Haunted by her dark, wet skin, moving next to mine. I swore that things would change if I could hold her one more time down the Rio Grande. Down the Rio Grande. Maybe she's in Brownsville, she got some family there. She always talked about the salty Gulf Coast where the river ends. Bought a bottle in Del Rio, I pulled out off the road. I spent the night staring at the lights of Mexico. I walked down to the border bridge about the break of day. I threw that empty bottle off and I watched it float away down the Rio. I'm on my way to Brownsville in the Gulf of Mexico. Just like that empty bottle, I may sink or else I'll float to the river's end. Down the Rio Grande. Baby pulled a blue dress on and walked out in the night. Rio Grande. Down the Rio
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Women in Rodeo Weekend Edition episode on Horses in the Morning. That was Adrienne Brannon singing Down the Rio Grande. This episode was brought to you by Debbie Lynn Designs. Debbie Lynn Designs, that's D-E-B-I, is a jewelry artist to a wide range of country music artists from Miranda Lambert, Carrie Underwood, Reba McEntire, and many more. Debbie Lynn Design Jewels is where Bayou Gypsy meets cowgirl chic, and will put the icing on top of any outfit. All made in Texas since 1994. Debbie Lynn Designs has always been by, for, and about women, with a giving circle that donates 10% of her net sales to women charities. Visit the website and sign up for the Debbie Lynn Design Sisterhood to get fashion tips, fun gossip, and promo code discounts. Next up, we have Wendy Ying, veterinarian, certified animal chiropractor, and veterinary acupuncturist. Wendy also has her own show on Horse Radio Network, the driving radio show.
With me.
Yes, with Glenn. You can find that show on Horse Radio Network app or the website. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. So we wanted to spend some time talking.
Did we say that the driving radio show was the best show on the Horse Radio Network?
Yes. Hey. They know that.
What's happening here? I'm outnumbered.
We've taken over. We've taken over Women in Rodeo.
So we wanted to spend some time talking today about the prevention and treatment of back pain for our horses in the Western world. And I'm excited to talk with you about that today, Wendy. Why don't we start with prevention a little bit? What are some of the things that you think that we can do that you would suggest?
Well, the first thing is there's two different types of back pain, right? There's primary back pain when the real reason is their back hurts because something, either the saddle's pinching or they have an issue, arthritis of the back. And then there's secondary back pain, which is compensation. So like they have arthritis in their hocks or stifles, or they have an injury and then they're not carrying themselves evenly. So they start to, and we've all experienced this in our own bodies, right? Like you right. realize that you're standing crooked and then it makes your back hurt. So the first thing for prevention, of course, would be to make sure your horse's joints are in their best condition. So if you notice some bogginess in your horse's hocks, or you know your horse had an injury and you're bringing them back into work, chiropractic care and acupuncture, massage, or any kind of body work to make sure they're using all their limbs equally and not like they're not one-sided, that is a real big key for prevention, because that will solve a lot of problems in the future. If it's primary back pain, this is a hard thing for a lot of people in all disciplines to look at. You know, you have to look at your saddle. And we all say, like, oh, what if you get this saddle that is like totally awesome for you and cost you thousands of dollars? Well, if it doesn't fit your horse, that's really disappointing. And people don't want to hear that, right?
Right.
So that's a big issue. We have this issue in the driving world a lot, is that, you know, sometimes we ask little ponies to just pull too much weight. And that's just physically, they're just physically incapable of doing
that. Were you directing that to me?
No.
Okay, just checking.
But, you know, if you fill that cart up with like two of your friends and then go for like an 8-hour trail ride in sand across the greenway, yeah, your pony's going to be sore. That's too much weight to pull.
Right.
Right. And a lot of times these Western horses tend to be pony size and big people ride them. So that's another thing that if you're having issues with back pain, or you know that your horse is carrying the maximum amount of weight it can, for prevention-wise, you want to make sure your saddle fits, you want to make sure you have a good pad, and you want to make sure if you're at the edge of what this horse can carry, you want to make sure you're balanced, because it's easier to carry a balanced person than an unbalanced person. And you don't want to, like if you're going to do barrel racing, for long-term prevention would be to get a horse that is big enough to carry you, you know, because it's easier for them than a little horse. You're going to have to do more maintenance.
Right. You keep talking about saddles and the right fitting saddle. I announced earlier, just so you know, that my girls and I are finally going to start looking for horses.
Mm-hmm. Great. And congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited. It's been eons, though, since I have rode myself. And so I feel like I'm a beginner again. And I'm sure that we may have some listeners that are in my boat a little bit. And I always like to try to speak to that. So do you have any suggestions on finding the right fitting saddle? What are you looking for?
Well, with all saddles, it doesn't matter how much they cost. They could be super cheap or they could be super expensive. You want to make sure they're not warped. And sometimes they come warped just from the factory. So that's really important. So you stand it up on its cantle, right? And look down the gullet of the saddle. And you want to make sure it's straight. It's symmetrical. Because if that's not symmetrical, what, you know, that if that angle is not right, then that's going to be pushing on your horse in an uneven way. So I'd start there. Then I would make sure that the gullet is wide enough for your horse, because they're all, you know, horses are all different shapes and sizes. Sometimes the gullet can be pretty small. With Western saddles, you guys have very long bars, which is like the length of the saddle along the horse. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the skirts of the saddle extend over the lumbar area if you have a short backed horse. So that can sometimes be an issue with back pain, especially if you have a trainer that likes to do a lot of backing up. Because if the saddle is real long and on the lumbars, and then you do a lot of quick backing up, the skirt and the end of the saddle can pinch the horse there in the back. Okay. And for your Western disciplines, there are so many different disciplines, right? And your saddles are made for the different disciplines. Like if you're going to be roping, you need a saddle with strong bars, because you're going to be roping off that saddle. You're going to do quick stops, and also you're going to tie things to your horn. So the saddle has to be sturdy and protective to protect the horse from the jarring that it's going to get for when the cow hits the end of the rope, and to be able to hold that. But if you're going to do like Western dressage or like barrel racing, where it's more, you know, you don't have to do a lot of pulling or dragging with the saddle, you could get away with like one with less of a skirt, because right, that will give you more room for them to do turning, and to, it wouldn't put so much pressure on the flanks and the lumbars. So it's all depending on what kind of riding you're going to do. If you guys are just going to do pleasure riding, you'd probably be better off with, you know, one with less of a skirt.
Right. Well, nice. Thank you. That was very informative for me. That helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For you, when you get into the treatment, you know, I know you said acupuncture and all that, but walk us through what that's like for you. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have chiropractors or anybody that came and did anything like that to our horses. So this is so new for me. I'm very intrigued and curious, and I know it's very popular now.
Well, acupuncture on horses has been very popular in show horses and racing because of all of our drug rules. And so, you know, for the horse industry, they need to keep these horses sound and competing at high levels with no drugs. So that's what's really pushed the acceptance of acupuncture and chiropractic in the sport horse world. In the AQHA, you don't have drug regulations yet, I don't think. So, you know, it's cheaper to use Butte than to use me and Kyle. I'll tell you that right now. Right?
Right.
So you don't have that that drive for that, but more people are wanting to do natural treatments, and also acupuncture and chiropractic can fix a lot of problems that are brewing, so you don't have a lot of downtime for your sport horses. They can also, you know, when your disciplines are won or lost on, you know, fractions of a second, chiropractic adjustment to be at your very best can mean the difference between winning and losing. So in those kind of sports, chiropractic and acupuncture has gotten to be very, very popular at the higher levels.
Right.
And so like our first, like say a typical exam would be, I would go and I would evaluate your horse. If you call, you know, first of course you call me and tell me the history and like why I'm there. So sometimes I need to see the horse under saddle, especially if it's a primary back pain issue. I'll want to see the horse under saddle because, and with driving too, it's the same way. Some horses aren't lame at all on the lunge, but pulling the carriage, there you can really see the lameness. So sometimes I'll see them under saddle, sometimes I won't. I then do an acupuncture scan, which is where I take the end of like a capped needle. So it's just like a little piece of plastic, like, or you can do a pen. And I go over the acupuncture points along the body, and those certain points tell me to look at certain places. Like certain points, if I get, oh, they're sensitive here, they're sensitive here, they're sensitive here, I know I need to look at the stifle. Or if they're sensitive here and here and here, I think this is primary back pain. So I do my scan, and then Dr. Kyle is my partner, and he's a human chiropractor, and he also treats animals. And then he'll go over the body, and he'll mobilize the entire spine. He'll also look for symmetry. Like we always make sure to look for symmetry, especially in the Western horses. We look at their shoulders. So we'll stand up on a block or something and look and see. Because a really common thing with Western horses is one shoulder will be lower or higher than the other one.
Right.
And the shoulder of the horse is not attached to the body by bones. It's just by muscle. So that's actually a very fun thing to fix, because that usually just takes a couple of mobilizations and the horse will like get straighter, like during the treatment. So that's a fun one. And then after Kyle adjusts the horse, then I will do my, I'll scan them again and see what points were cleared with chiropractic care, and then I can work on the acupuncture for some more long-lasting results.
Well, I think that it is a great option. I think the Western world is starting to embrace it more, and I hope that more that it grows within our industry. I actually have a friend who told me, you know, and I don't know if it was you that came out or not, but she said they came, so it might have been you, and did a treatment on their horse, and they said their horse was like a different animal before they even left. Like the
That's great.
It was just it ran out in the pasture, and she said you could see the difference in a matter of moments. So, yeah, I think that's great that you do that. Where are you located? Because I do have some local listeners. Tell us where you're located and how people can get a hold of you.
I'm in Sarasota, Florida. So I'm on the west coast of Florida, and we travel around. We have a mobile practice, and my website is drwendyying.com. And you can also find me on Facebook and on the Driving Radio Show.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, thanks for coming on and talking to us, Wendy, or Dr. Wendy. I should be saying doctor.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Well, no, we had a big discussion about this amongst a group of vets, and it was determined that horse vets, all their clients call them by their first name, and we horse vets don't care, but small animal vets like to be called doctor.
Well, and it's funny, I worked for five vets when I was in high school. And a little bit out of high school, too, while I was going to nursing school. Mm-hmm. And three of them were large animal vets. But we called them, we didn't say doctor, it was Doc. So it was Doc, you may know them, Doc Copeland. Do you know who Doc Copeland is?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I worked for him, and I'm like, oh, Doc Copeland. They had a little satellite office in Sun City Center, which was small animal. Uh-huh. And that's where I worked, so.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, well, thank you for coming on.
Is it an inferiority complex thing or what, Wendy?
I don't know. I think it would be horse vets are just more like that.
I call her Dr. Wendy on the show when she's actually talking about doctor things. And then the rest of the show, I just call her Wendy.
Oh. I think also we equine vets have like so much more to worry about. And we're usually outside and sweaty and dirty.
And it's like, not a glamorous job.
No. And the small animal clinic, they're like clean. They can wear like real shoes.
Yeah, they have people to clean up the puke and the poop.
I have a friend that's a cat vet. She wears like pretty dresses under her lab coat to work.
And I like, well, I worked with five. I worked with five men vets, and no, they did not come in like that. Plus, they'd probably been out with a horse somewhere anyway, so.
Well, thank you, Wendy. We'll talk to you in a few minutes to record our show.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. Have a great show.
Our next guest is Katie Shaw, owner of Katie's Case and our fashion expert. You've just come back from a very long trip. How are you feeling? How are you?
I'm great. I've been really busy with lots of changes. I got back from my travels about 2 weeks ago, and I've been busy moving my company, Katie's Case, into a bigger location. So I'm really excited about that. I've been on a social media break for the past 2 weeks because of the move. But the best part with that is I will be doing lots of online sales, both on my Katie's Case Instagram page, as well as my Facebook group, Katie's Closet and More. So, and that'll just be able to make room for new products and get rid of, you know, some of the stuff that I've had for, you know, 2 or 3 months and get some new product in. So be sure to check on those for, you know, different sales and everything like that. But I am glad to be home because my trip was amazing.
So that is exciting. You've had so much going on. Do you have an idea of when your new store will open? Is it a brick and mortar that people can go to there in Vegas?
Yes, so I'm using it actually as a showroom / boutique. So it's because of my travels, it's not going to be open all the time. But during big events in Vegas and having big warehouse sales, it'll be open regularly, but not every day. So it's a different concept, but it'll work really well with me and my traveling schedule.
You know, that reminds me of like the pop-up boutiques that you see. They open for events, and that sounds like fun to me. I like that. Very cool.
Yeah, and it'll be fun to collaborate with different people, different designers or different people who want to come in and showcase what they have and have parties, you know, small parties and get-togethers, girls' nights. And so it'll be really fun to connect with some other women and what they're doing and other small business owners. So it'll be real fun. I'm excited about that.
I can already see a Women in Rodeo event when Lauren and I come to Vegas for the NFR.
Yes. That will be fun. We have to plan that.
Well, so tell us about your trip. It was like the longest trip I've ever heard of.
Yes, my trip was great. I had a fun time. It was a hectic schedule, but I got some really great deals. I was able to shop at some fun boutiques we don't have it here in the U.S. and then incorporate those looks into my own closet. But I'm so glad to be back and working on my own boutique, as I said before. And then I have some big trips coming up this summer, which will be fun and a learning experience and learning some new fashion and styles. So as far as my upcoming travel plans, I'll be going to New York this summer, and then Florida and Cuba. And I cannot wait for Cuba just to see the fashion from there with all the vibrant colors. And, you know, Cuba's been such a secret for so long that we don't really know what to expect. And I think that's the best part. But I just can't wait to go there, check out all the different cities and see what I can take back from their style and fashion. So I can bring it back to you guys and let you know what's going on the other side of the world.
Yeah, you have to post a ton of pictures while you're there. I'm excited to see that.
Well, now, if the fashion is anything like the cars, it'll be 1950s.
I know, right? It's back in time a little bit, but we'll see. And not very many people have been to Cuba yet. So I think it's really, you know, it hasn't been explored yet, you know, from U.S. travelers. So that'll be really exciting. But speaking of traveling, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today was packing for these trips. Because if you guys are anything like me, I've overpacked my whole life, putting everything in the kitchen sink in my luggage and then, you know, taking it through the airports or in the truck or wherever I have to go. And so,
yeah, don't talk to my husband.
I know, right. And going on all of these trips, I've really had to master the skill of packing. So I kind of wanted to give you guys some tips on how not to overpack.
All right, let's hear it. I'm excited. My husband will definitely want to tune into this one.
Yes. Okay, so whenever I'm packing, and I typically go for 2-week minimum trips. So these are a little bit bigger trips, and I know a lot of people are going on weekend trips to horse shows or rodeos or whatever they're doing. So it's kind of or family vacation. So it's kind of a broad spectrum, and then you can tweak it to however it works for you. But when I start packing, I like to start out with a neutral palette of colors. That way everything can be mixed and matched together. You kind of have a color scheme going on. Whether you like, you know, I do a lot of navy, a lot of nude, black, white, tan. So they all can kind of go together. Olive green is a good one, too, to put a little bit of color in there. But to save space and weight, I like to pack lots of summer dresses and rompers. And for nights, I do a few jumpsuits just to dress it up. Because these outfits are effortless, they're quick, and they look really pulled together. Whenever I'm going out also, you know, everywhere you travel to besides Las Vegas, it gets a little cooler at night. So you always need a cardigan. White or black goes with everything. And then possibly throw in a light jacket, you know, for cooler nights. And then let's talk about shoes a little bit. For shoes, in most places, you'll be walking a lot. So some cute flats and sneakers. You don't want your feet to be the reason that you didn't see everything or you didn't want to go out for the day. Also, if you want to bring a heel or a wedge, limit them to a basic color. Black, white, or nude usually works the best. And, of course, cowboy boots. We cannot forget our cowboy boots because they go with almost everything. They're pretty comfortable.
And okay, I have a question. How do you pack and fit your boots in? Do you have any suggestions?
Yes.
Are people putting them in separate little bags? Or are you putting those in your suitcase?
I put those in my suitcase. And how I do it, I stuff all my socks inside the boot because it saves room. And I stuff all my socks, or if there's something that it doesn't matter if it gets wrinkled, I stuff all that in. And then I put them in the suitcase how they would be in like a boot box.
Right.
But I keep that separate from my clothing. Just because your shoes are walking on the ground all day long and you don't really want that on your clothes, on your white t-shirts or whatever you have in there. So I always keep my shoes in little separate baggies, whether it's Ziploc baggies or, you know, the bags that you get from the grocery store, just to keep them, you know, your clothes clean, I guess.
Right.
So that's kind of the basics of what I start with when I pack. But then from here, you can build on with more of like the fashionable stuff. These will be like your layering pieces, not so much your basics. But I throw in some fun floral prints, some Navajo prints. Those are all really hot right now. And then, oh, I love these long, loose flowing skirts. They're everywhere, paired with like a choker and some layered necklaces to get that boho look. And again, that goes great with, you could wear cowboy boots with that. You could wear sandals. You could wear flats. You could kind of wear anything with the boho look. It's definitely a mix.
You talked about necklaces. One of my biggest problems when I travel is that I end up taking so much jewelry. I can't stop myself. Do you try to pare that down? And if you do, how do you make that decision? Do you take just a couple pieces that'll go with a lot of things? What do you suggest?
I love jewelry. I have so much jewelry, and we always buy it because it's easy. It fits in our luggage. We can always take it with us, and you don't have to try it on. So I hear you. I am the jewelry queen. But I try to limit it to as little pieces as I can because jewelry is so expensive. And this is a problem I've run into, is that flying internationally in Europe, I pack all of my jewelry on my in my carry-on with me just because I don't want it to get stolen. And a lot of those pieces are either, you know, from family members, or you really just don't want to lose your jewelry. However, they have weight limits on the carry-on bags over there. So I've had to really limit my jewelry. So I stick with neutral pieces. Turquoise goes with everything. Red goes with everything. Of course, black and white goes with everything. Diamonds, you know, these are the things that go well with everything. Silver, gold, try to keep it, you know, pair it with your outfits, I guess. You know, lay out your outfits and see what goes with what and how you can maximize those. So I like to lay it all out before. I'm very organized when I pack because it's, you know, 4 weeks in two suitcases is so difficult to do. So yeah, that's what I would do. And then put them all in little separate bags. We get those little jewelry bags, you know, separate them all out so they don't become tangled, or, you know, and then you never wear them because they're tangled and you're running out of the hotel room. Or so, yeah. So keeping them all separate is another good way to keep them together. And then also on top of that, with as far as the clothing goes, I would throw in some, you know, off the shoulder sheer tops are really big right now. They're lightweight and they're cool. You know, you can wear them in the summertime, even if they're long sleeve. You can wear them in the summertime and you're not wearing a long sleeve shirt, you know. Kimonos are great layering pieces, cut off shorts. And then, of course, my favorite, and I always talk about it, is white denim. It's the white denim season right now, and I am so excited because I wear them every day. but that's another factor. You have to limit your denim because for weight purposes, the weight limit for a checked luggage on a plane is 45 to 50 pounds, depending on the airline, and denim weighs up to 2 pounds sometimes. So really try to limit it. However, if you're on a road trip or, like we said, going to a horse show, or I know a lot of the rodeo queens are traveling, you know, you can throw it all in there because it doesn't take up a lot of room, but it does take up some weight. So if weight isn't an issue, pack away. I know it's a necessity when you're working with horses and around horses. So I know it is really important for us to keep our denim and our boots and everything in there. And denim's hot right now. I mean, the flared bottoms, the wide legs, the deeply distressed, that's all really, really popular right now. So we're in luck.
Well, before we run out of time, I have to ask you a question. Well, I have a lot of friends that are journalists that travel for months at a time over in Europe and all around. And they all seem to be using the vacuum bags. Do you do that?
Yes. I actually wanted to talk about that. The Space Saver bags.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are perfect. Yeah. So that, I have just a couple more tips, and that's actually in them. So the last few tips, when you're packing, buy a lightweight luggage. You know, that saves weight already. And then make sure it has 4 wheels. I know some of them have 2, some 4 is the way you want to go. This will make all the difference when you're lugging it into airports or hotels, wherever you're going. And then this is Space Saver bags. I personally always roll my clothes and then pack them in those bags. It keeps them from wrinkling. It saves them if your lotion or shampoo bottle opens in your luggage. It saves the space. You know, it compacts them down so much you can essentially get, you know, double what you wanted to take into your bag. So that's really important. And then as far as beauty products, I always keep my makeup bag in my backpack, especially in the summer. My products, I don't want them to melt or go bad with these extreme heats. Your luggage is okay in the trailer or back of the truck, but the beauty bag should stay in the cab or on the plane with you. Of course, curling irons and styling tools can go in your packed luggage. As far as shampoo, conditioner, lotions, that's up to you. I don't know if you have room or how it goes, but yeah, I think that kind of covers the basics of it, whether you're, you know, traveling on a vacation with your family or to rodeos or horse shows. Yeah, so I hope these tips help.
They were great. They helped me, Katie, because my daughter's going on a missions trip this summer. And
oh,
we
fun.
Went to her, he went, we went to her last meeting, and her youth pastor that's taking her, he brings this duffel bag and sits it on the table and proceeds to tell them that they need 10 changes of clothes, but this was the size of the bag that they could use. And I'm like, and she's texting me. We're sitting on opposite sides of the room, and she's going, that's not going to work. I need a suitcase. This is not going to work. I'm like, you're going to have to make it work. We're texting while he's telling them this. She's in panic city. So yes, this will definitely be helpful.
Yeah, hope these tips help you look your best while being comfortable, have room in your luggage, and so then she'll be able to bring back some fun goodies wherever she's going, you know, some souvenirs from her trip and everything else. That would be the ideal
right.
it. So
absolutely. Then, and having space for that is you know, I never have that. So maybe I will now. Well, thank you, Katie, and good luck on all your upcoming trips. I can't wait to see your photos from Cuba. And you guys can follow her journey on Instagram at Katie's Case. That wraps up another great show. Jamie and Glenn will be back on Monday. Be sure to stay connected. You can find Women in Rodeo at womeninrodeo.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can follow all Horse Radio Network shows at horseradionetwork.com. Their app is the easiest way to listen to the recorded version of the show. Just go to Horse Radio Network on iOS or Android. It's free and easy to download.
And as always, you can find the links to today's guests and show notes for all the episodes we do on Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. You can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And on Twitter, it's Horse Radio. Thanks to our title sponsor, Debbie Lynn Designs. We appreciate her being part of the show. And we'll see y'all at the rodeo.